1207. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this now cold and snowy final day of January 2013.
Snowy? Just wait a minute. It might not be in a second.
Well, yeah,
it's
yeah,
been on and off all day.
Let's give it till the evening before it gets back into the 70s. But you've heard two extra voices in the studio this hour. With me, Doug Hackbarth, our usual guy who's riding shotgun during
character.
This program. Character. This program. Doug, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
With us in studio, because it's the last Thursday of the month, it's Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. Laura, we're very glad to have you back with us as well.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And we do want to hear from our listeners, of course, this hour. Laura has brought another topic, as she does every month, for us to chat about and get thinking about here. And later in the program, we'll take your plant and garden questions as well, so you'll want to stick around. The number to get in touch, it's 260-452-1185 or toll-free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/middaymatters, or you can always send us a tweet as well @middaymatters. Lots of ways to get in touch with us this hour, and we certainly hope you will. Also, nobody in our phone bank, so if you give us a call, you'll get right through. Now, Laura, as usual, you brought another topic to get us kind of kicked off at the beginning of the program here, and you sent some photos along as well, and those can be found at our Facebook page. We're talking during this part of the program about adding a little bit of color during these dreary January days here. First of all, just tell us a little bit about the photos you sent over that folks who have access to a computer can come along with to follow along with a little bit.
Sure. I just thought, you know, it's these pretty dreary days in January. It is nice to have a little bit of color. And we, you know, us gardening people, we really kind of miss that. And it certainly is a nice treat for the visual senses to see lots of big, bright color. So mm-hmm. I just did that today, hoping, you know, if you're sitting at your office desk or at home, you can flip on these pictures and just get a nice little visual treat. So our first photo is, I brought some photos of cut flowers that I've had recently that were just gorgeous. So I wanted to share those. Many of the flowers in these arrangements you can grow out in your garden. Like this first photo is of a stargazer lily, and we can grow those outside. And they're very fragrant. And, you know, check out that color. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of pink.
That's a lot of pink, yeah. And with, you know, Valentine's Day coming up, Doug mentioned.
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from
right.
today,
yeah.
Says the man selling the Valentine bouquets. There you go. Those are, you know, what? It's a nice alternative to roses should you want something a little different for
Stargazer
Valentine's
lilies.
Day.
And you'll almost always see those in the mixed bouquets, especially the high dollar mixed bouquets. Also, these are perennial.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can grow them. They don't last very long in the garden, but you know, with a flower like that, you can't expect much.
When's the natural time for it to bloom? Is it in June, July?
I want to say it's early summer, I believe.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, don't quote me on that, but I think that's about right. And they, of course, make wonderful cut flowers. It's nice to leave them out if, you know, if they're close to someplace where you spend a lot of time. But I know where I have my lilies, I don't often see them. Yeah. They're a little farther away from the house. So I have a cutting garden out there so I can bring things inside and enjoy it.
But they do smell good, and I'm sure the bees like to pollinate
mm-hmm.
around that.
Right, they do. So I try to leave some for the bees, and mm-hmm. then I bring some in for me.
And an Easter lily is very similar, except it's an Easter lily.
Right.
It's perennial, blooms about the same time. Of course, it's white, and it has, instead of that flat open bloom, it has the tubular bloom.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our next photo is of a German iris, and I was out helping a client do some gardening, and they had this very lovely collection of iris, so I took a few photos. This is a blue, I guess you might call it a purple, mm-hmm. And yellow iris. And it's just gorgeous. They had red, they had black, they had maroon. There was a copper color. You can get a lot in iris. Of course, those are a spring bloomer. They also make very beautiful cut flowers. And this is one that You don't want to just glance at an iris. At a German iris, you want to sit and really look at that, because when you look at that flower, you can see it's sort of, I don't want to get poetic here, although I might.
Oh, please.
Well, you can see how nature, the amazing flowers that nature has created, the things that nature will do on a flower petal to get a bee to pollinate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, how lucky for us. We get to enjoy the visual beauty of it. But the truth is, all those markings on the petals, those are really just luring that bee and that insect in there to get some pollen so that they can cross and make new iris. And it's a really, the bearded iris are just a gorgeous, gorgeous thing to look at.
And the photos that we have on the page here right now, you can get a little bit of the sense of the detail in the petals, but I agree. We had irises at a relative's house, and they were just absolutely lovely, especially if you got up close and got a little detail there.
So. Right, and kind of look into where the center of that flower is folded over, kind of look into those petals and really see inside the flower. It's amazing.
And our last photo here, Laura.
Those are lilies as well. The orange is a type of Asiatic lily, and I really love that color in the garden. There are not very many flowers that give you that intense orange, so it's one of my favorites. Now, I know it's not everyone's favorite. I have lots of, I have many clients who don't care for the color orange, but it goes especially well with yellows and the deep blues, mm-hmm. Looks good with purple. It clashes a little with pink, so if you're a real pink person, you might not want to put those in the same bed. But again, those can be grown out in the garden. So those are a really nice one. If you love that flower, you can look for that plant at your local nursery this spring and get that in a sunny spot in your garden.
Now, for the people that aren't looking at these pictures online, it's too bad, but the pollen in the center, the little pollen, mm-hmm. What do you call those particular ones? Those are the...
There's the stamen and the pistil.
Yeah, the stamens then maybe. Mm. Anyway, whatever they are, they have the pollen on them. And the thing about it is when you get a cut flower bouquet, you're not going to see that in the blossom because we purposely pull those off. They're very messy.
Because, right.
And
if
so,
you've ever brushed up against one,
yeah,
you know,
oh
it all,
my gosh,
it all comes
it gets
off
on
your clothes.
Clothes.
Yeah.
And if you pick them like we pick them out, they get on your fingers and stain your fingers for a day or so. But the reason we pick them out, folks, I think they look great, but they're messy, they're dirty looking. And when the blossoms bump against it, or if the pollen falls mm-hmm. off and lands on the blossom, which it will do, it dirties the flower. Nobody wants a dirty
sure.
flower.
That's interesting. Mm.
So we have to pull those off. As soon as the bloom opens, we're out there pulling that out of there.
That's interesting. I didn't
to keep
know that.
The blooms clean, and especially on a white or light pink,
mm-hmm.
but any color, even this dark red that you have on the screen, if you don't get that pollen out of there, it just... And once they get dirty, nobody wants them.
Yeah.
Tricks
well,
of the
probably,
trade with Doug
right.
Hackbarth.
Who knew?
Well, yeah. Oh,
who
yeah.
knew?
It's crazy.
It strikes me, we're talking during this part of the show about a little bit of, just adding a little bit of color because it's so gray outside right now. The photos that you've brought, particularly this last one, though, it strikes me how the intensity of the color. Because,
right.
you know, so often, you know, when we're out in our garden, there's all sorts of beautiful colors to take in. But rarely, it seems to me, do you find a flower that is this deep, is this deeply colored.
Right, right. And I agree. And it's one of the reasons I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons that it really stands out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, so cut flowers are just a great way, you know, when you've had like the last dreary day that you can ever stand. We have got some fantastic floral nurseries in town like Doug's. And so visit one of those places, and I will say Doug, you might not like this, but I'm saying if you can sneak back into the greenhouse and, you know, and you can get into that, because I love to do this at the botanical gardens downtown. When you get into an area where, of course, you've got all those plants packed in, it's you can sort of like breathe the chlorophyll in. You know, it feels so good, and being surrounded by the green and anything, all the plants that are growing, just feels really wonderful.
It's energizing.
It is very energizing.
In these tundra days, it's nice to have a little bit of life to breathe in there as well.
We invite people to come in. The problem is at this time of the year, we have very little in there.
Yeah.
We'll have more in there for the Valentine's upcoming weeks. We'll have more flowering plants. The cut flowers are generally in the coolers. You know, it's a funny thing when people come out and they're like, well, where's your tulips? Where's your, you know, you go to the grocery store and they got them out on display. Mm-hmm. And they have those coolers that are open air, you know, and so the cool air is blowing on them all the time. We can't really leave tulips and hyacinths and daffodils out in the open. We have to have them in a cooler. Well, if we had one or two pots, we could stick them in our front display cooler. There you go. We got one or two pots you can look at through the glass. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we're dealing with hundreds of pots, and we can't leave them out, especially in the greenhouse where it's warm, or they're like shot in no time at all. Mm. This is what's wrong with bulb plants that are forced for Easter and stuff. Very, very low shelf life.
Okay.
I wish they did last longer, but they don't. And so a person would really have to keep them in a cool place to make them last long in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Tulips last a little long. Well, hyacinths probably last longer than anything of the bulbs. Iris and crocus comes into bloom today, shot tomorrow.
Which is kind of how that works in the garden, too.
Well, luckily but also in the garden, every night gets really cold.
Right.
And people panic.
Good point.
But this is what keeps those things going is the coolness. They like the coolness. What ruins them is the hot weather, out in the garden. But
we're talking today about, during the first part of the program anyway, about adding a little color during these gray days. And we want to know how you get your flower fix. If you could add a little bit of color to your, let's say, call them inner spaces today, what would you like to bring in? What flowers, what plants? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. It's 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We do need to take just a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
It's time to meet music.
Hi, I'm Julia Meekin. What's the scoop on this week's Meet the Music? Alicia Pyle in classical mode at the Studio Baldwin, Alex Renberger's inspirational originals, and a bit of garage band rockitude with the vibes. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
I got my guitar and I've got my band.
Well, I've never been good at goodbyes. I'm gonna sneak out the back door.
Singer Ron Sexsmith has been thinking about ways to disappear.
I don't want to say, hey, everybody, I'm leaving. I just sort of, I want to be kind of like the wind or something. Oh, where did that Ron guy go?
Ron Sexsmith on mortality and love, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
The political thriller House of Cards is a new series produced by and available only on Netflix. It premieres Friday. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from executive producer David Fincher and actor Kevin Spacey, who plays a scheming politician.
It feels like I'm in a 26-hour championship chess match because it's all about the moves.
Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
As the Arab Spring exploded across the Middle East, Andy Carvin curated his contacts on Twitter to break news and get first-person accounts from the front lines. In the process, he pushed social media into a new tool for journalism. I'm Neil Conan, distant witness. Social media, the Arab Spring, and a journalism revolution. Plus, Ambassador Thomas Pickering on Benghazi. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Thank you.
It's 22 minutes past the hour. It's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Thursday. With me in studio, it's Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist and Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. We've been talking, at least during the first few minutes of this program, about how you bring color into your home during these January, February days. And we want to hear from you. How do you do that? What plants would you like to have brightening up your home during these months? 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And of course, if you have any plant or garden questions you'd like to toss our way, or maybe some tips, suggestions to share with our other listeners, we'd love to hear those this hour as well. Going to the Facebook page here, we have a few comments on Laura's photos, and you can check out those photos on our Facebook page as well and comment as well. Deb Romery says, just beautiful images on this cold, bleak end of January. Couldn't agree more, Deb. And Rachel says, Laura, please share with the listeners that many German iris varieties re-bloom in fall. Rachel lists Summer Olympics, Breakers, Immortality, Baby Blessed, Autumn Circus, and many others as well. Laura Stein, a good point here from Rachel.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it's interesting that she brought that up. There are many flowering shrubs and trees and other things that do rebloom in fall, and depending on the type of weather we're having.
That's what it is, the weather.
Yeah, it's cool, the weather. So I don't know about these varieties specific, but I don't have any reason to doubt Rachel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's right.
we appreciate it, Rachel. Thank you very much. And Deb, thank you as well. We hope more folks will get to our Facebook page and comment there as well. Doug, we were talking over the break. You had a point you wanted to bring up here as well.
Well, you know, Laura's got these pictures of these lilies, and they are gorgeous plants. They are a bit expensive, and so normally you don't see an arrangement with lots of them in it, maybe two or three in the arrangement. But another flower that is used a lot is the Alströmeria, which is like a miniature form of these lilies. Many, many flowers clustered on the stems. There's so many on a cluster that they're used almost as a filler. Very colorful, come in a zillion different shades. I have to unpack these when they come in, and it's like, oh my gosh, can't they send two packages that are the same? You know, you get 25 packages and every one of them is a different variety. But there's that, and there's a lot of other filler plants that people don't grow in their gardens, but they could. They don't grow them because alone they're not spectacular. As filler flowers, they're great, like status, stock. People don't grow these things in their gardens, but they're beautiful. Now, people do grow Mexican heather, or heather, which is also used as a filler. I don't even like it as well as some of the other fillers, because generally the stems are so short. Yeah. It has to be only in smaller arrangements or down closer to the bottom because the stems are short.
I like the status, you're right.
Yeah,
status that's a really good one.
Comes in blue and purple and white. Mm-hmm. I've seen yellow, but don't see it much used by florists.
Good.
I've seen it as plants.
Because it doesn't coordinate well with other cut flowers?
Yeah, well, it's just not a spectacular yellow. Okay. It's kind of a pale yellow. And when you think about status all by itself, the blues are spectacular, and yet how many people in their gardens at home actually grow status?
Right.
Okay. In all fairness, it's hardly ever offered.
Yeah, I don't see it very often, actually.
It's not offered because it's not popular.
Yeah.
But it's used in arrangements all the time.
And I will say this is the perfect time of year if you want a particular flower. Many of the landscape nurseries are doing their ordering now. So it's a great time to ring them up and say, hey, I'd like to have this particular flower. Are you going to carry it for spring? And many of them will go ahead and order that in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good reason to create a good relationship with your local nursery.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get you whatever they want or whatever you want.
I can't imagine the box stores. Could you get me this?
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
I don't know. If it comes in, it's in.
It doesn't work as well. It doesn't work nearly as well. But many times you can get some, many particular varieties if you will just, if you request them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we want to hear some suggestions from our listeners as well. And before we leave this topic, I have questions for both of you. But I want to remind our listeners the number to get in touch and share how you get a little bit of color into your winter months. It's 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. That's also where you can see Laura's photographs. Or you can send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. We do want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your outer spaces, what you're doing to keep the green thumb active, and, of course, how you're adding color to these months as well. Laura Stein, before we leave this colorful topic, I guess you could say, give us some maybe suggestions. Folks who, like I have been, beginners who want to add a little color to their home, what would you bring into your home in terms of cut flowers or just adding a little color around the home?
Well, I, definitely during the holidays, I really love to bring in, excuse me, I love to bring in amaryllis. There's so many different varieties now, and that is such a good longtime bloomer. I got a really deep red this year that was just gorgeous, but there are pinks, there's whites, there's coral colors, and it's a bulb, that's a bulb you can plant, and I like to have several, and I can, I kind of take those through the winter. Yeah, stagger them through the winter. So I love them for the holidays, but honestly, we're usually gone for a few weeks over Christmas, so I like to save some for the winter, and then have those going, because you usually get two blooms, if not on this one this year, I got four. Many times you'll get six, so that's a really good one to add color. And then you can even force tulips and force hyacinths inside if you take those and plant them. There's, go to the you could Google Purdue and forcing bulbs and get the whole deal on how to do it. But you can force bulbs, tulips, hyacinths, other small miniature iris, and do those closer to spring. You put those in the refrigerator in a cool spot. Mm-hmm. So you can force blooms into your house.
You can also just ask me too, because I
and
know.
And you could
do,
go ask Doug. I would say
I
too,
do
just
these.
Yeah, go to a nursery, go to a floral shop. Like Doug's, and I feel like we're just advertising for you all today.
No, and you don't need to do that either. But mostly, it's only greenhouse ones that actually know how to force them. The other shops buy them in ready to go.
Right.
We're actually doing the growing.
But
so.
They could force them at home too,
yes,
if they wanted. But if you want instant gratification, go see Doug, and he's already got it done for you. Mm-hmm. But you can walk around, and to look at the indoor plants that are in those places and really find something that'll work well for you.
Oh yeah,
Doug Hackbarth. Very briefly, any favorites that you'd bring into your home? I know you're surrounded by it all day, but
I am. And actually, I was thinking, I thought I might go the opposite. And what I wouldn't bring in for my own homemade cut flowers is probably carnations. Hmm. I like carnations, but they snap so easy. If you're not careful with carnations, you go out and you buy them, and then by the time you get home, you've broken three or four of them, and you're paying by the stem. Mm. So that might be one I'd be cautious about bringing home, is that. Go ahead, Laura.
I was just going to say, in response to, I believe it was Rachel's post on the Midday Matters Facebook page, I was doing a little research here, and the Baby Blessed iris that she recommended is this gorgeous buttery yellow. So that one came up on a reblooming iris website. So that one is especially pretty if anyone's interested in looking at that Baby Blessed iris. So thanks very much for the suggestion there, Rachel. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Looks like we have a caller here on the line. We also have a few digital comments to get to as well. Let's open the phones. And if you'd like to get in touch, again, 260-452-1185. 1185. Looks like we have Matt on the line. Matt, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yeah, thanks. I was actually wanting to ask about planting strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were talking, and she decided that she wanted me to plant a strawberry patch, and I was kind of curious. I was looking online, and there's all kinds of weird advice. I was curious what you guys had to say about that.
Well, strawberries generally are your best. Strawberries are planted from roots, 1-2 year old roots, and you plant as many as space you want to take up.
In a sunny location.
Yeah, definitely a sunny spot, and they're relatively easy to grow. They do send out runners, and sometimes you need to organize those runners. They'll shoot them out in all directions, but you can go out there as they shoot them out, and you can like pin them to the ground in straight rows beside the mother plant, so that later those babies grow in a straight row rather than just all over the place. And so you can kind of train them to grow that way. And then, of course, there's the ever-blooming or ever-bearing versus the June-bearing. And there's advantages and disadvantages to both. Ever-bearing gives you more berries, but they're smaller. And June bearing gives you all of them at one time, like around June, and they're much larger berries. And so it depends on what you want to do. If you just want to go out and pick 6 berries and throw it on your bowl of cereal, well, ever bearing will work for you. They're smaller and sweet. If you want to make jam, you want everything at once. So you would want to do the June bearing. Or if you're going to make strawberry pie, you want a lot of them at once. And so there's reasons for why you do this. Now, there are strawberries from seed. I just want to caution you. I don't think they're very good.
Okay.
They were a trend.
I've seen the best ones coming from,
yeah, from
plant
the roots.
Stock, too. Right.
Yeah, you got to get the roots. And they're really cheap. Don't pay a lot for them.
What about, like, ground prep? Like, I see these things online about, like, pyramids and these 6-foot round things. You can plant 50 strawberries in a round of 6 feet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it'll never do well unless it's in the ground. Now, you can hump the soil up, hill it up, and plant it like in a long hill. I'm not really sure what the purpose of that is.
I would guess that's got something to do with harvesting it and making,
yeah,
it, easy
making it easier
to get in and around
so
it.
Far.
Yeah, because of the way they trail out.
Yeah,
but I don't know that they're going to. Long as it's well-drained soil.
But containers are only for novelty. If you have a strawberry jar, quote the name, you know,
right.
Hence the name, strawberry jar, they're not going to survive very well from year to year, and they're not going to perform very well in such a limited space.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you for calling.
Matt, we appreciate the call. Good luck, and have a good day.
Thank you much.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always visit our Facebook page where you can see Laura's photos from today or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have another caller on the line before we have to go to break here, and then after the break, we'll get to our Facebook and email comments. Let's go to Judy. Judy, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi. I lived in England for a long time. And, of course, flowers were like treating your soul. You just went. You bought your vegetables with the flowers. They were just common. But you also bought prepared bulbs. And you bought them usually in the fall, and it was something you gave for Christmas or a gift. And they were all ready to bloom. It wasn't just hyacinths or, you know, whatever. But they called them prepared. Mm-hmm. Do they do that here?
No one that I know of sells them here, but they're pre-cooled is what they are.
I was going to say, Judy, do you know, does that mean they were all potted up and they were pre-cooled?
No,
so they were ready to
bloom?
Bought them
they're
and
not
they,
potted.
And you, they were just with the vegetables.
Right.
Just
I see.
They're not potted.
But they were pre-cooled,
but they're
so they're ready to bloom.
So when you plant them, they immediately shoot up the flowers.
Yeah.
And they bloom. Yes, that's what that is. Pre-cooled bulbs, and anyone could do this.
I haven't seen them.
Anyone could do this themselves.
See, you could do it in your shop.
I believe we found a new marketing opportunity.
I don't
for
have
you, Doug.
A market for it. However, if you went out in the fall and you bought bulbs, stuck them in a grocery sack and stuck them in your refrigerator for six to eight weeks, you would pre-cool these bulbs. And so you could actually do it the day the bulbs come out in the stores for sale, get what you want, put them in a grocery bag, stick them in, you know, paper bag preferred, not plastic. Put them in your refrigerator for 6 to 8 weeks. And then anytime you want to pull out five of them or nine of them or whatever you want to do and plant them, they'll immediately grow and bloom. It isn't the best for the bulb, though. The bulb itself...
Oh, I mean, they're finished. You aren't going to be able to plant them in your garden again.
Yeah, you can. But, see, that's another mistake that people make. They always buy these bulbs in the at Easter time and in the spring, and then they think they should go home and plant them as soon as they're through blooming.
No,
and by rights, they need to rest all summer and be planted in the fall.
One other question I want to ask. My favorite flower is freesia, and I can't grow those.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Freesia from a plant. Yeah.
Freesia from a bulb. I think they're bulbs.
Well, isn't that an indoor plant? I'm not terribly familiar with freesia.
I'm thinking it's a plant, in my thoughts, that looks similar to a certain variety of orchid where it's real bushy. And it probably does start from a bulb, but then
it has the most gorgeous smell.
Just like... calla lilies start out.
They're small.
That way, and then they develop into a bushy plant that can be divided and divided and over and over. But freesias.
Well, I've never been able to grow them.
Yeah, they're not a good house plant. That's all I can tell you. They're not.
Well, they grew them, and, well, of course, in England, you grow a lot of things because the climate was different. But they grew them in the garden.
Yes. And you can grow them in the garden. The only problem is they'll freeze out in the wintertime.
Oh,
of course, not
so they
all
should be taken up.
Yeah, not all bulbs are perennial, and so they will freeze out in the wintertime. And so you can plant them in a nursery tub of some sort, plant the whole tub in the ground, and you could plant it half in, half out, and then when fall hits, you can pull that out and go stick it in your garage or someplace where it's cool, but not going to freeze completely. And
you could do the same with dahlias?
Yes, dahlias, yeah, you can do that with dahlias, although usually I knock the soil off and store them in either paper bags or cardboard boxes. But that's the dahlias from bulbs. Most people grow dahlias from seed, and they don't keep them. So anyway, yes, you can keep them, but you got to keep them inside the freesias. And then you can put them back out in the spring. Now, you can grow them. If you have a greenhouse, you can grow them year-round, and it's not a problem. But in a house, it's not so easy.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Judy, we appreciate the call. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. We need to get to a break here for the news. First, though, I want to share Daniel's comments on our call for how you get a little color into your life during these colder and grayer months. Daniel says, best I can do is change the Windows operating system's background theme to add color. Thankfully, it can also rotate through several different pictures.
I wonder how often he waters that.
don't water it, Daniel.
Sounds like a maintenance-free issue.
We appreciate the comment, Daniel. We'd love to hear from more folks. How do you bring color into your home during these months? Give us a call or share your thoughts on our Facebook page where you can get a little splash of color from Laura Stein. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The political thriller House of Cards is a new series produced by and available only on Netflix. It premieres Friday. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from executive producer David Fincher and actor Kevin Spacey, who plays a scheming politician.
It feels like I'm in a 26-hour championship chess match because it's all about the moves.
Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Governor Mike Pence is making a change in leadership at the Department of Child Services, appointing a juvenile court judge as director of the embattled agency. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Lake County Superior Court Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura will become the third DCS director in the last 7 months. She has spent 3 decades working in the juvenile division, experience Governor Pence says makes her uniquely qualified for her new role. Bonaventura says she's already familiar with some of the issues plaguing DCS, including high turnover rates among caseworkers.
We just have to figure out how do we support the case managers that we have, keep the really great ones, and maybe some of the ones that aren't that great will just have to go their own way if they can't, you know, keep up the pace.
Bonaventura replaces interim director John Ryan, who took over after longtime director James Payne resigned last July. Ryan will return to his role as DCS chief of staff during Bonaventura's transition, something she says is vital.
He's so knowledgeable, I don't think I could begin. I know nobody there. You know, I would walk in there saying, okay, who is everyone? And he has really been the glue to the agency. And so without him, I probably wouldn't have taken the job.
Ryan says he will stay on while Bonaventura adjusts to her new position, but plans to retire within a year. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Freshman Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly is opposing a ban on assault weapons sought by President Barack Obama. WBOY's Sean Beter has the story.
A Donnelly spokesman told the Associated Press today that the Indiana lawmaker will vote against the ban, but has not decided whether he would support universal background checks. Donnelly represents a key block of moderate to conservative Democrats the president must win over. The announcement also marks a key early stance from Donnelly just a few months after winning a state that went heavily for Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney in last year's election. Donnelly called himself, quote, a strong supporter of the Second Amendment in a statement issued shortly before the Senate Judiciary Committee opened a hearing featuring testimony from National Rifle Association CEO Wayne LaPierre and former Representative Gabrielle Giffords. For WBOY News, I'm Sean Beter.
The Indiana Department of Revenue says it has opened this year's income tax return filing season and has begun processing individual returns. It took the steps Wednesday, on the same day the Internal Revenue Service opened the federal season. The agency says the General Assembly passed legislation providing for an automatic taxpayer refund credit for the 2012 tax year. Taxpayers are eligible for the credit if they filed a full-year Indiana resident income tax return for tax year 2011 in a timely manner, including extensions, and if they do so for the 2012 tax year. They also must owe some tax to the state for 2012. The refundable credit is $111 per taxpayer or $222 for a married couple filing a joint return. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters Outer Spaces with your host, Sean Beter.
It's a quarter till 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist and Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. And we want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment about your outer spaces, give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And if you visit our Facebook page this hour, you'll be able to see some splashes of color that Laura Stein sent along for us as well. We have a question here from Jane. This was via our email. Jane says, I'd like to know what happens to plants when they come out of the ground before spring. My bulbs came out due to the warm weather. Do they go back into the bulb?
Oh, no. They don't go back in. However, the cold weather that comes on again pretty much stops their growth. And the thing is, when they come up in January, early February, it's not a big deal. If they came up when they're supposed to in late March and early April, and then you drop down to 10 degrees, that's when you have a problem because the buds are setting. Now, don't get me wrong. Things like crocus, they're going to pop into bloom. I'm surprised we haven't seen any blooms. Have you seen any crocus in bloom?
I haven't seen any, no.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if those things would come into bloom at some point. And they're short-lived. More than likely, a cold spell again won't hurt them. But if it does, they're short-lived anyway. They're not going to last long anyway. The only thing that keeps them going is the cold weather that keeps them performing. Once it gets hot, well, then they're shot. Hmm. So, but no, generally, the plants coming through the ground early in the season, it just means it's gotten warm and rainy and springy, and not going to hurt them.
No, they'll be fine.
We appreciate the question, Jane. Very very good question, and we'd love to hear more this hour. Again, our email, it's middaymatters@nipr.fm. An update on our Facebook page here. Our friend Janet posted on our page an article from Purdue about forcing bulbs out of season. So you can...
Thanks, Janet. Made that easy for us.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, Janice. Folks can check up on that if they're interested in forcing those bulbs. While we wait for more folks to get in touch with us, Doug, I know you brought a little bit of research on things we didn't quite get to last week.
Yeah, well, you know, someone called and they asked about non-invasive vines and just... off our heads, we weren't coming up with a whole lot. Like
a lot of good listener suggestions.
Well, yeah, however. And clematis came up by a listener, and that was a good suggestion. Clematis, sweet peas that are grown from seeds annual, mm-hmm. also makes a good blooming plant, and this is for sun, so is the clematis. Plants for shade would be like Dicentra, and then there's the alpine clematis, which can tolerate more shade. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you know that there is a clematis that is native to Indiana? You don't see it very much, but I have seen it growing. It's small and it's beautiful.
Is it yellow or
it's
white?
It's pinkish.
Pinkish.
It's pink.
Oh, wow.
It's
pinkish.
Clematis viorna, V-I-O-R-N-A, also called leather vine. It's one you don't see in the trade very often, but, you know, if more people ask for it, we might get it. It's really quite pretty.
Sometimes when things... are like that aren't in the trade, it's because of things like either they don't perform that well as far as blooming or the blooms are sort of faded or whatever, and the people want brighter colors. That's just a thought.
Well,
I know that to be true.
And sometimes that's true. I know for this one, it just looks a little different. You know, the Jackmani is the purple very common for clematis, and there's lots of different other types of clematis that are really big and showy. So this isn't showy. It's very small. It's very delicate, but it's really quite beautiful. So it's just a different plant that I think hasn't been requested.
And of course, we have a lot of folks call in, especially during the spring and summer months, about native species. That'd be a great addition if you're looking for a vine.
Yeah.
Right. Then the vines I had down here that attract hummingbirds and butterflies, they're in categories. It's the cypress vine, which I'm familiar with because...
it's an annual, right?
Yeah, and I was telling Sean and Laura on the one commercial break that the seed rack that I got, my wife and I went to Chicago years ago for the sole purpose, to the Indiana Independent Garden Centers program on Navy Pier, for the sole purpose of finding a better seed rack. And and we did.
How?
And we did. Well, of course, there's also the vacation category, but
sure.
But we did find a better seed rack, and it's one where we could specifically order things like a half a rack of pumpkins and squashes and gourds and a half a rack of all kinds of seeds that grow from, you know, vines that grow from seeds. This is what I wanted. And so this cypress vine was among those, and we planted a lot of the viney seeds that we had on display just to see what they look like. Mm-hmm. And they look great. This is kind of a ferny looking thing, and it gets flowers on it. Anyway, so this is one that attracts hummingbirds and butterflies, as well as something called Dutchman's Pipe.
Dutchman's Pipe is a native.
Are you familiar?
Yes, I am. And that is a really old-fashioned vine, actually. You would see it climb many times. You would see it climb like a some mesh or something that somebody's put on the side of their porch, mm-hmm. because it really creates a full screen.
Yeah.
And then the pipe is, it looks little, that's where it gets its name, of course. It does look like a little bitty Dutch pipe.
Yeah.
It's adorable. And it comes down underneath, so you don't really see it on top, but you see it underneath. And this is actually a plant that the pipe vine swallowtail will use to lay eggs on.
Oh.
And so you'll get some, and that's a gorgeous butterfly. big wings, and really one of the standouts. I believe it's a blue color. Someone correct me on that if I'm wrong. But that is one that the pipevine swallowtail butterfly will lay its eggs on. So you'll get more butterflies. And, you know, putting natives in the landscape, I'm sure you've heard me say it before, but it's such a nice tie-in to Diane Rehm's last hour when she was talking to Al Gore, and he mentioned, I loved, he said, natural circular pattern when he was talking about reestablishing the ecology and the habitat on farms with animals and using their waste as fertilizer and how we need to reestablish that. And I thought, boy, that's exactly what we can do in our gardens. Mm-hmm. And the native vines will do that.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, very.
Yeah, this says it's a greenish yellow color, but I don't know.
The Dutchman's pipe?
That's what it says.
It is. It's kind of the chartreuse color. And then the pipe has a little bit of brown, a little bit of yellow on it.
There you go. There you go.
It looks like we have a few questions here. We can get back to the list.
Absolutely.
In just a moment here, Doug. But friend of the show here, Fred, has a question. Any special plants or flowers either of you specifically recommend for container or raised bed gardening? Any preferences?
Oh, geez, there's so many.
Yeah, now, what if it's, is it visual interests Fred is looking for, or little vegetable?
Well, Fred, maybe you can tweet us a few specifics and we can start general here.
Simple, all-round, easy plant to grow, which became popular in recent years, is, of course, the super petunia, the wave petunias.
The wave petunias.
And these can be grown in beds, in pots, in hanging baskets.
Lots of
they
color.
They can be grown anywhere.
Lots of color.
A lot
summer.
Of the landscapers use them.
Sure.
And because, you know, it used to just be impatiens and begonias, impatiens and begonias.
Right.
And they're having problems with impatiens here in recent years. Something to do with downy mildew, is it?
Sounds right.
Yeah, and rather than the powdery mildew.
I haven't run into that yet, but.
Well, me neither. And they were talking about it. And we had a greenhouse meeting one day, and the lady went out who was giving the talk. She went out into my greenhouse to look at all my impatiens and try to find one with downy mildew. Well, she hunted and hunted and hunted, and finally she comes up and she goes, oh, maybe this one has it. I'm like, yeah, right.
You know, but I really love the lantanas too, the red and the orange lantanas, because the hummingbirds will come right up.
Yes.
I have a couple planters by a bench out on my deck, and I love to sit there because hummingbirds will come right up, and they're always going for the lantana.
Yes,
that
and
has
lantana
red.
Likes it hot,
dry,
sunny, not too dry though. If they get dry, you do have to water them.
Right.
And another one that is the same way, that likes it hot and definitely dry, is the moss rose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets overlooked. It's been around for a billion years, the moss rose. But we have grown it. In fact, we plant it in front of the flower shop in the summer so that we don't have to take care of it.
Wow.
And it does great on its own. There's a period of time when it's just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And let me interrupt you here for just a moment. Fred tweeted us, says visual colorful is what he's looking for here.
Okay.
So,
another one to add to that then, that gives you, you know, we're talking about big color, and a nice complement to that big color is to have some good shape and good height, and the purple fountain grass.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really beat that in a pot for the deck, or in a raised bed, even if you're looking for
my wife loves
color.
Those.
I love
in
those.
Pots.
And what many things I love about them, but they have the maroon foliage, and then, of course, very
the
early
plumes.
In the season, they get plumes on them.
Yeah.
They usually stand about 2 or 3 feet tall. And what's great is that you can leave those in your planters in the winter if you leave your planters out, and they look great with frost and snow.
Yeah, they do.
So you're really getting 4 seasons out of an annual plant,
Don't make the mistake of putting them in too small of a pot. These things will really grow and fill out a pot without much trouble. And then back to that gentleman's question about the colorful and whatnot. Somehow I and Laura have changed it over to also maintenance-free. So we went to the moss rose and the lantana, but also another one in that category is vinca. Vinca, not vinca vine, not the ground cover vinca, vinca periwinkle type flower. And the flower looks just like impatiens. It has a shinier green leaf, sometimes with a white stripe in it. And again, very dry, very hot, very sunny, very easy to grow. It's a little slower growing because when you're used to looking at impatiens, they just like grow like a weed. But then they like it shady and, you know, you have to be more careful. But the vinca, once it's established and fells out, it is the most carefree flower you can have in your garden.
Interesting. And is this is an annual?
You're not familiar with vinca?
But are you saying different than vinca vine?
Oh, yeah. It's not vinca vine and it's not
vinca
the ground cover, which is what? Vinca minor.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flower vinca. It's an old-fashioned flower. It's still available in most places. And a lot of people will pick it up thinking it's impatience because the blooms look the same.
Interesting. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
Looks like we have a caller on the line in just about 2 minutes to get the phones open here.
All
so
right.
Let's see if we can get Mary on the line. Mary, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Oh, thank you. I love the program. I listen to it almost.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're fading out there a little bit, Mary. Are you
okay
with us?
Don't be shy.
I have a question.
I'm terribly sorry. It sounds like your service is fading out a little bit here.
We can't hear you.
We can't hear you. If you'd like to maybe email us a question, or you can call us after the show, and maybe we can get you on next week's program. That'd be great.
I'll try again next week.
Oh, so we're sorry about that. It's difficult to hear. We just have about 90 seconds here, Doug and Laura. It's January 31st. We're heading into a new month here. What will you both be looking for and looking to do in this next month? I know a lot of folks are probably very eager to get out, except today because it's really cold. Doug, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, you know, most of my spring planning is done in July, August, and September. So that's finished. and the plants start rolling in like in the big time in the 1st of March. So between now and the 1st of March, we fill pots with dirt. And we have Valentine's Day. Other than that, there isn't a lot more. This is when I do my repairs, and people should do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Clean their tools, sharpen their tools, do their repairs, either mend their hoses or go get new ones. Mm-hmm. Look for them on sale. You've got months to look for them on sale.
Plan now.
Yeah. So that's basically it with me.
Laura Stein, we were talking over the break. You're tackling some of the less exciting parts of being a landscaper and a designer these days. What should folks be doing right now in preparation for the upcoming season?
Well, now is a great time to be looking through catalogs that if you are into that, you're probably getting lots of them in the mail. Looking through, seeing what the new annual varieties are, planning your garden, taking a look out your view, out your windows, and seeing how you can enhance your winter views. Now's a perfect time for that.
Great suggestion. Well, we are out of time for this edition of Midday Matters Outer Spaces. Doug Hackbarth, Laura Stein, thank you both so much for being with us once again.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks very much to our listeners for being with us as well and for offering your questions, comments, and suggestions. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. It's 1 o'clock. Have a good day.